And welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this beautiful Thursday. I don't know why, but it seems like Friday to me. This is the 28th day of June, and the year is 2018. And we have three guests that will be appearing here on the Wayne Eddy Affair this morning. More on that in a moment, waiting for my guests. And when they get here, we're going to have a little bit of fun about something that's going on this weekend that's pretty exciting. As produced by the Northfield Theater, Arts Guild. We'll learn all about that in just a moment, and all about the individuals here on your radio station, KYMN. A friend you can count on. I'm going to play a little bit of music as we're waiting for the other individuals to show up, and I think you'll enjoy this song. One of my favorites, I played this yesterday. The gentleman I had on the air graduated in 1986, and I did not get to play the entire song, and I like this guy. It's Huey Lewis and the News with Stuck With You.
We've had some fun. Yes, we've had our ups and downs. Been down that rocky road. But here we are still around. We thought about someone else. But neither one took the bait. We thought about breaking up. Now we know it's much too late.
All right, we have a little bit of music going on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And, of course, that's Huey Lewis and the News. And Stuck With You, that was the number five song of all of 1986. Boy, how the time flies. Well, I do have three people from NAG that are scheduled to be here today. One is seated in the green room. One has already come into the KYMN studios, and we're still waiting for another. And so I'm going to introduce a young lady that I've known for many years, and I want to say good morning to Shannon Canton. Canton? How did I say? How
Caton,
do I?
Yes. Caton. Good morning, Wayne.
How you doing there, Red Lips?
I'm well, and you?
Okay. Now, the thing's coming up right now, as a matter of fact. I just saw some of the concession trucks going east on 19. They're going to Cannon Falls, and, of course, the 4th of July celebration. And I remember sitting in the parking lot of a church waiting to go down through the parade route, and you were, at that time they called it Queen and Ambassador.
Princesses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now they're all ambassadors, all mm-hmm. equal scholarships and the whole bit. Were you a queen or a princess? I don't remember.
I was a princess.
And I remember that we had the big black convertible there.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, hey, look at the lipstick on this princess. And you had the brightest, prettiest red lips. And I'll never forget that, and I don't know why. But now you say there's going to be a revival of that?
Oh, yes, a red lip revival. I'm wearing the favorite color lipstick for the play.
All right. And you're an actress?
Well, I am an actress as of like 3 years ago.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Okay.
It was on my bucket list to do a production, a play. And so I've done some dinner theater out at the golf course, and they've all been fundraisers. We've done one at Arcadia just this past winter. And I auditioned kind of on a whim for Lysistrata and got a part. I was super surprised and happy.
Well, I am surprised, too, because I have known you all these years. You probably have a boy that's through grade school.
Yeah, he's 12.
Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh. And this was years ago when we all were going to parades. And Shannon, what role do you have in Lysistrata? And what is that? Did I say it right?
It's Lysistrata.
Lysistrata. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's a Greek play that was written in 411 BC. Yes, as a protest to war, actually, which is kind of, you know, poignant for the times. The women of Greece got together and decided they were sick of war and decided to withhold some favors in hopes that the men would give up war.
Now, I have heard about that, and I know what you mean by withholding favors, and it's kind of been around for a long, long time, mm-hmm. and it's been effective in some worldly places. Women want peace, and so do men, but in a different way.
Right? Women are more subtle.
I should not have said that. But anyhow, I heard it was bawdy and funny.
It is. I think it's funny.
Okay. And what role do you play?
I'm woman number four.
Okay.
Kind of a feisty little mushroom. I'm lost in the first act. I'm waiting because I'm down at the well, and I'm late for the really important meeting that Lysistrata is having where she's going over all of the details for the protest, basically.
And you're woman number four.
Woman number four, yes.
I remember when Julie was in Scrooge, and her line was, thank you. And she was one of the women on the stage that was selling apples out on the street and, yeah. you know, and then, of course, sang along. Is there music in this play?
There's one music number at the end.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many people are involved?
There has to be 15.
Holy moly, that's big.
Big cast.
Yeah, on that little stage.
Yeah.
And who's your prop manager? I always had respected that. I mean, you don't have to.
Jerry Fox.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very important in that in a play.
Yeah, for stuff those isn't of you, there, that, you can't do it.
For those of you that aren't aware, the various props that you use, whether it be a knife or a gun or a scarf or gloves or a hat or whatever, during rehearsal they find a place to put those that is good for a nice smooth operation. And if that stuff isn't there, for example, let's say you're going to go out and shoot somebody, and it isn't there, that's a problem. So yeah. Do you have a lot of props in the play?
I personally don't have anything but a bowl filled with water. But there are a lot of other things that
not really filled with water.
No, it's not
pretend
really
filled water.
It's pretend water. Yeah. Yeah.
And what is the water for?
Dousing the men and their fire.
Okay. Who's going to be joining us later on besides the guy out there named Carter?
Sherry Setchell, the director.
Oh, yeah. That's the woman I contacted.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she should be here?
Any minute. Well, let's talk about something, because last night the Ambassadors went to the Dundas Dukes baseball game, and Fox News Channel 9 was there, and they're doing a story about small-town baseball, and they're going to various communities, and they're videotaping some of the activities, and then they're putting it together, and in the month of July, they're going to be showing the people that they visited, and they visited Dundas, I think, one day, and then came back during the game last night, and the Girl Scouts sang the national anthem, and the Ambassadors were there, and they're selling spaghetti tickets because the defeated Jesse James Day committee needs to sell tickets to a spaghetti dinner, which will be July 16th, a Monday night. And all that money, if hopefully a lot of it, is going to go towards the bleachers, because we're putting new bleachers in at the rodeo site. And I converse with you about this because, of course, you have been involved with the defeated Jesse James days. You had after you were a princess, you were involved in many different ways, weren't you? Shannon, we're talking to Shannon Caton here on Kim.
Yes, I've done many different things, just from volunteering to pick things up to ambassador, the candidate coordinator.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of different things.
And of course, that's all appreciated. And that's part of the thing that goes on, folks, with that ambassador program. Some of them, many of them come back and help put on the whole show. As a matter of fact, there are several of them on the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems that we have the full contingent here, and we'll get the other names of those individuals after I talked to Shannon about the last time I saw her. And the last time I saw you was in a place called the Quarterback Club.
Yes. Yeah. I frequent the Quarterback Club.
And what is your favorite thing at the QB?
The mushroom and Swiss.
Okay, I enjoyed that. How about their roasted chicken?
Oh, yes. Nothing can beat their roasted chicken.
And have you tried
their
delicious? You know what? A guy told me one day, sitting where you are right now, I always eat the coleslaw for dessert. Oh. And so that's what I do now.
In case I don't have room.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But have you tried their delicious baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness just oozing all over them in the form of a very secret sauce? Ooh, you got to try their baby back barbecued ribs.
Ooh.
Delicious. And, of course, they have sandwiches, egg salad sandwiches, tuna salad sandwiches. They have it all. Soup, breakfast, big deal. 45 minutes, they stop making breakfast from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Saturday. We have three people in the studio right now, and perhaps Carter will be kind enough to tell me his last name. Carter, you seem very busy with the phone out there in the green room, and I hope you got every message out that you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I said, are you going to sing? No. What, are you going to dance? No.
That's a lie.
Carter's an excellent dancer.
No, he's a terrible
dancer.
And an
even better singer.
No, the singing I'll vouch for. The dancing, not so much.
Well, Carter, what is your last name and how do you spell it?
Martin, spelled like it sounds.
Okay, M-A-R-T-E-N?
I-N.
I believe that was a dig.
I think that was.
Mr. Martin, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And, you know, your name, when I hear it, it'll say, yeah, but it seems to me it has mysterious spellings.
It does have a mysterious spelling. My name is Sherry Setchell.
Okay, do you spell that with an I?
I spell it with an S-H-A-R-I.
Okay.
It's so complicated.
S-H-A-R-I. And yep. The last name is?
S-E-T.
S-E-T.
C-H.
C-H.
E-L-L.
E-L-L. Whoops. How do you say Setchell?
Setchell, yes.
Yeah, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
Sherry Setchell. Mm-hmm. And are you the director of this body play?
I am the director of this body play.
Are you also a part of the acting crew?
No, I am not acting in this show, although I have acted in shows many times.
Have you been on the NAG stage as an actor?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Have
many,
you
many
been
times.
On the NAG stage as an actress?
This is my virgin debut.
Oh, well.
Pun intended.
It's been a long
We are so happy to have Shannon.
Well, I'm shocked to see her because her and I are friends. And
I've learned a lot about her in these last few minutes that I had no idea.
Oh,
we haven't had much time to be social. We've been working so hard.
Oh, she's a real sweetheart.
Yes, that I do know.
Represented Northfield and the defeated Jesse James days very well.
Just 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You bet. 919 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on the 195.1. Carter, is this your, how many times have you been on the NAG stage?
This will be number two.
Two?
Number two.
Yeah.
So you've been in one other play.
Yeah, I was in Death of a Salesman last fall.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
What role did you have on that?
Fun.
He lived.
I got to live. I didn't die at the end. No, I was Charlie, the next door neighbor who discreetly keeps Willie floating by pumping him about $50 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Willie.
Yeah.
I've never been in somebody asked me if I've ever been on the NAG stage.
Yes, I was going to ask you, how many times have you been on the NAG stage?
Are
Wayne?
You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
It's all, I can remember them because it's pretty much all one name. Jesse was my first adventure.
Right.
And I had like six roles in that play.
Nice.
And I had the lead role in Hello, Dolly.
You were Dolly?
I'm trying to picture that.
Ruth
Legbold. Yes, I know. I love the pictures of Ruth in that role. They're so beautiful.
And when I said lead, I am, of course, stroking myself. But there's a male lead male lead.
Yes.
I was that guy. I can't remember his name.
Wait, is it Barnaby? Barnaby?
No.
No, it's the other one. I can't remember the other guy's name. I've only seen Matchmaker.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I also was in Scrooge.
Were you Scrooge?
Scrooge, now look at me. I am Christmas present.
Nice.
And so on. And the best song in there was I Like Life. Great song.
Nice.
I can even sing it today. I won't, but
and
then I was in Annie. And a couple other ones I can't remember. But anyhow, I had more darn fun. And the problem is I would do that if there was one thing that I could have maintained. And you know what that is? Memory.
Oh, I think that's a great reason to keep doing theater, actually, because practicing is the way to keep it, you know?
We had a guy that played Jesse James' dad in the play, our father in the play Jesse, and he was a minister. And I have to believe he was almost in his 80s. And he had cancer.
Wow.
And he worked so hard, and he'd occasionally would forget a line or something, and we'd all cover for him. But you're right. I mean, to work at it is to keep exercising your mind.
Yeah.
But the last thing I wanted to do, the person that directed most of the plays I was involved in was the one that dedicated the Johnson.
Yes,
Myrna.
Yeah, Myrna.
Yeah, and last thing I want to do is screw up
for Myrna.
No, yeah. she was quite the lady. Well, yeah. Congratulations to you. How long have you been in Northfield?
Since 2001.
So you're just a rookie.
I am just a rookie. I know. Everybody's like, "Oh, you've been here for a while." And I'm like, "No."
You have yet to be deemed a townie.
That's right. I've yet to be deemed a townie. I figure I've got 3 more years. I've got a kid, so I think that helps. When we moved here, we had no children, and so we were in our late 20s, and it was this very interesting time for us to be here because everybody was either much older than us or much younger.
Well, what I want to do here, Sherry, you're the director. I want to, of course, promote the play. You had your opening last weekend.
Yes.
And tomorrow night and
Tonight, actually. Tonight.
Oh, Thursday night?
Yeah, we have a Thursday because we were initially supposed to be in the park. And the way park shows work is that they do strike on Sunday, so they don't have a show on Sunday. So we go Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week. So we have 3 shows starting tonight.
Is it in the park?
No, it is not. It's at the theater.
And the reason that is? It's going to be 95 degrees? Or?
No, we got dinged a little bit for our content. There was concern about our mature content.
Oh yeah. I think
yes.
I read something about that. So
yes.
What's the story on that?
Well, I'm not sure how much I can say on the radio.
Well, let me just...
you should all come and find out.
Yeah, you should come and find out.
If you have children in the car, have them plug their ears, okay? Say the name of the play again.
The name of the play is Lysistrata by Aristophanes, written in 411 B.C.,
Lysistrata.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the spelling, how do I say that?
I know,
that?
Yeah, and it is pronounced several different ways, and because it is ancient Greek, probably nobody is saying it right anyway. So I go with my classics professor's pronunciation of it. So,
well, what does the word Lysistrata mean?
It means peacemaker. Actually, it's the name of the lead in the show is about a woman named Lysistrata.
Okay,
and she brings all of the women from all over Greece together to get the men to stop fighting in the Peloponnesian War, which was a long-running war between all, you know, the whole Peloponnese, Sparta, Boeotia, where else did they come from? Corinth, just everybody fighting each other when they really should have been preparing for the Persians who were about to invade. And so she brings everybody together, and she asks the women of Greece to abstain until their men decide to make peace with each other. And so it leads to some kind of randy situations. I can say that, right?
Carter's laughing over here.
Yes,
He must be thinking of a particular
we have
exchange.
We have some sculptural, architectural elements that go with our show, with the theme. And so I think there was some concern about our appendages being in full view out in the park.
Well, that reminds me of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh.
And they had a piece of artwork that the mother brought home. And everybody looks at it and says, "Mom, what do you do with that?" And she didn't get it until the end of the show. But I thought, well, that's pretty risque. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I never have seen that show, but I love him. I love him. And I love, what is the actress's name that plays his mom on that show?
She passed away.
Yeah, and I love her so much. She's so funny.
And the father.
Yeah.
And he passed away.
Yeah.
And it was a great show.
Two beautiful veteran comedic actors. For sure.
So, to be a little bit more descriptive in regards to that, is this a statue?
No, it is
a phalanx?
Four humans eventually wearing what are phalluses, basically. So, yes.
So, they don them?
Yes.
Don, whatever that word is.
Yes, they don.
They up them on.
This is exactly how our rehearsals have been going, Wayne.
There's no way to dance around.
There's no way to dance around. As you and Cameron learned.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So is that the only risque part?
Yeah, I'd say that's most of it. There's not a lot of the translation I deliberately chose because it was fairly mild. I mean, I would say it's like a hard PG. There's some You know, there's some language in it and there's some situations, but I'd say it's nothing you don't see on a sitcom in the, you know, late evening kind of thing.
What you see on TV nowadays is amazing.
I know. I do think in comparison to what we see on TV a lot these days, it's pretty tame.
You know, have you ever watched, I like this show, Family Feud?
Oh, yeah.
And I just enjoy, you know, going along with the program. That's why it's been on forever.
Right.
And the fellow that MCs it does an excellent job. But it's all sexually oriented.
Oh, yeah.
And poop and stuff like that. And I'm going, you know, don't kids like to watch do that? What were you going to say, Carter?
No, I
second most important thing in comedy is poop.
Is poop, yes.
No kidding.
The first is timing.
Yeah, timing and then poop.
Yeah. It's 9:28 on 1080 Radio, KYMN. Going to take a brief break, and we will be back and continue our conversation here on Kim, a friend you can count on.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Are you looking for a rewarding career with a successful growing company? Post Consumer Brands, the makers of Malt Meal, Honey Bunches of Oats, and Pebbles, is hiring full-time in Northfield. We're looking for passionate individuals with previous manufacturing experience and a high school degree. We offer competitive wages for production employees starting at $20.63 an hour and maintenance employees starting at up to $31 an hour, depending on experience. 401k with a generous company match and bonus incentive plans. To view openings and apply for our full-time positions, visit jobs.postconsumerbrands.com/KYMN.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Witt Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're a Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Witt Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today.
Oh, you're singing along.
Oh, yeah.
From 1986. How old were you in 1986?
I was 12.
A puppy.
Yeah, I was 12. Yeah.
How old were you?
1986, I was 23.
How many?
23.
I won't ask you.
Thank you.
I like the song. It's 9:29 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio with our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota on Division at 2nd. Come on by and say hello to all these great actors and actresses that we have in studio. No, don't do that. I have to keep talking to them for another 90 minutes. Now, I want to explain to you that if you haven't listened to the Wayne Eddy Affair, the whole idea is about an individual. Where were you born? Who was mom and dad? Grandma and grandpa? And sometimes if they have a business, talk about that a little bit. And so to talk 2 hours about a play is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So I'll be going one-on-one with you to find out more about you. But let's continue talking about the play. I want to know who censored your play from the parks.
Well, Well, I just think there was some concern that we're very loud also. I think that was definitely part of the concern. There's a lot of volume in it, but so there was just concern that we could be cited for.
Well, who brought that up?
I don't know. It was an anonymous person that sent a message to the performing arts director at the Guild who was concerned that we could be cited for disorderly conduct. And, which for me, I don't know. Like I'm in my early 40s. I'm like, bring it on. Like, I don't care. Like, I work with a lot of teenagers and young people. I'm like, I think that would give me some cred. Like, what'd you do over the summer, Sherry? Well, I got arrested for disorderly conduct.
There you go.
Spent some time in the pen.
Met some very nice people down at the safety center.
Well, I have to say that I am not a prude, okay? But I agree.
Yeah.
I think if you had what you suggested earlier about 10 minutes ago going on,
yeah.
in the city park.
Right.
And they have a beautiful playground there.
Yes, and we were accommodating for that, actually. We were building walls around the area. Yeah, because I was aware of that. I'm absolutely aware of that. I have a, you know, I have a kiddo. I work with younger kiddos, so I appreciate that it is first and foremost a city park. But we were building walls and we were building screens around the whole space and making plans for to make sure that everything was shielded as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and the show starts at 7:30, and it doesn't get real juicy till around 8 o'clock. So hopefully by the time that any of that would have happened, kiddos would have been in bed anyway.
Well, okay. But I think it was a good decision. So how long does the play last?
It's about an hour and a half. There's no intermission.
Wow.
It goes by very quickly. Yeah, it goes by very quickly. And I just made the decision to not have intermission because I don't like the 45 minutes and then another 45, you know, 15 minutes intermission, another 45 minutes, and then you're there for 2 hours. Might as well be done in 90 minutes.
Okay, yeah. And it's going to be at the Nag, and, mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't hold a whole lot of people, but it's very intimate.
Yes.
And you're tonight, mm-hmm. tomorrow night, and Saturday night.
Saturday night, correct.
And this is the close?
Yes, we
close
on Saturday.
So we only do 2 weekends?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
musicals often get 3 weekends, but usually a non-musical show gets 2 weekends.
Oh, that's
6 shows.
That's sad.
Yeah. At the high school, I only get 3 shows in the spring for the show I direct there. I only get 3 shows. So this is kind of a treat for me. I'm like, yeah, 6 shows.
Well, and we all have had this experience. And, you know, if you aren't a little bit nervous beforehand each time,
mm-hmm.
You probably shouldn't be there.
Right.
And your ego is taken over. But the biggest disappointment in acting on stage is the final act.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Yes.
That's the biggest, because that's when you say, man, have I got this thing nailed? I'm not even worried. I know that line. I know the cue.
Yes.
We were just getting good at it.
Yes. That is often how it goes. Right?
So you have
a depressing arc because you work, and then you get it to here, and then it's... You're done.
Yeah, you're done.
It's a drop-off.
Yeah.
So. It's like planning a wedding. You mm-hmm. plan, and then it's over.
Yeah,
yeah, there's really no decompression process afterwards. Yeah. You just kind of say, you strike the set, you say goodbye, and you go home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the advantages that you have over my experiences is that the videotaping is so much better and fresher. And so when you videotape it, 10 years from now, you can look at it, and it's pretty well done, the lighting mm-hmm. and everything. The videotapes that I have, I don't look at them often because I always say, oh, geez, I should have, you know.
Yeah.
You get critical, but they're all kind of dark.
They're very grainy. I know. I've got some of those. I have some of those from my high school days that my dad took with the camcorder.
Exactly.
I actually don't know if we'll have anybody record the show. I don't know anybody right now who does that. And I always think it's a pale imitation of what's going on stage. You know, I've yet to see anything that's recorded that really kind of captures what's happening.
Is it done in just a continuous level, or is there a stop-off point and then you regenerate what's going on, or just smooth all the way through?
Just kind of smooth all the way through. Yeah, okay. There's like a tiny, you know, like a 5-second break in between the first act and the second act, and just kind of goes right through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, she mentioned that you have about 15 people in this play.
Yeah, we have 20 bodies.
Oh, I wasn't even close.
20?
Yeah, there's 20.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, yeah. On that stage, it's a lot of bodies.
And she also mentioned, when I say she, we're talking about my friend Shannon, that there's only one song.
Yes, there's only one song. It's at the very end. Yes.
No,
it's amazing.
Okay, so we already discussed about the props that you're going to be using.
Yes.
And that's why you're not doing it in the park. And it's about women wanting peace
mm-hmm.
in the world.
Yes.
And so they hold off any of their love making.
Yes.
from the men. And until the men become peaceful, mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to have a intimate relationship. So is there humor all the way through?
Oh yeah, there's a it's It's a lot of humor, a lot of physical comedy, but a lot of like really serious pointed dialogue as well. But it is primarily a comedy. It would have been performed at a religious festival in 411 BC, and so they would be coming to be entertained and to have a great time. But also Aristophanes used it, like I call it Saturday Night Live. It's basically, there's a little bit of a political message in it, or not political, but I don't have a better word than that, but just a strong message about what's going on in their current time, as well as like this great body, silly, goofy, over the top comedy.
Okay, now are you going to will your dialogue be consistent with the dialogue of Minnesotans, or are you going to try to do a little Shakespeare stuff? Or?
Hot dish is not mentioned.
Yeah, hot dish is not mentioned. If only I'd had more time, I could have thought of it. No, our translation is done by a gentleman named Nicholas Rudall, and so it is in plain English for the most part. But they do refer, you know, I chose to stick with the ancient Greek setting rather than try to update it, partly because that takes a whole different tone and amount of work that I just wasn't available to do at the time. And so they refer to what's going on in ancient Greece at the time and many of the people of that time. So in that respect, there might be some things that people are like, well, who's Cleisthenes and who's Aristogiton and who are these different people? But I think you can still get the gist of what's going on without knowing all of that.
Now, how do you do all 20 have speaking parts?
I think everybody says something, yeah, by mm-hmm. themselves at some mm-hmm. point, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did you have to edit the play to your liking?
Actually, I had to beg more people to be in the show because it actually, we could have expanded it even larger. The men's chorus and the women's chorus are supposed to be very large groups of people. I think they're supposed to be 7 each, but we have a chorus of 5 men, and then we have a chorus of what was 6 women last weekend, but what will be 5 women this weekend. And so we kind of paired those down a little bit, and there's supposed to be more women coming from different parts of Greece that I was not able to show because I just didn't have them. So we have only a Boeotian and a Corinthian.
So all for one song.
Yes, all for one song at the end.
So some people just sit around for...
No. People have lines throughout the whole show. It's okay. It's the structure of it is not unlike a musical in its structure, and I think in its energy to a certain extent, in that the chorus does come in, and they don't sing songs necessarily, but they do share stories and share information as they go along. So it's sort of like in any musical where you sort of stop, drop, and like, here's a song. It's sort of you stop, drop, and here's a story about this, or here's some information about why the women are upset and why the men are trying to hang on to their positions of power. And so, yeah.
All right. If you just tuned in, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. I remind people of what we're doing here on the radio because a lot of people like talk radio, and they'll go across the dial and they'll hear some people talking, and then it's my pet peeve of all is when you hear a radio announcer interviewing somebody and they never mention who the person is. And then, well, thanks for coming in. And you know, you listen to 5 minutes of it, and it sounded interesting, but who was that sports figure or whatever? So what we're doing is we are talking to 3 of the people involved in Lysistrata, which is a play that, did I say it right?
Yes, beautiful.
A play that will be at the Northfield Arts Guild tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night. And I have the director here, Sherry Setchell. She's the one doing most of the talking, which I requested. And we have a participant, Carter Martin, and Shannon Caton here. They each have parts in this body play. I like that word, body.
I do, yeah. Think it's a good word. It's a good word.
Are there sexual undertones other than the props?
Oh yes. The whole dialogue, like there's a lot of dialogue that's tongue-in-cheek right away.
Okay.
Like almost immediately it comes out, and there's just tons of innuendo throughout the whole show. And yeah, we play it up quite a bit.
And I like innuendos.
Yes.
but there's not vulgar language.
No, I think there's one swear word throughout the whole thing, and that's about it.
What does it start with?
What does it start with?
It starts with a G and has a D in it.
Okay.
And I say it twice, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But Birch also has one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Birch. Birch, yes.
Yes.
How many D's does it have?
I can't figure out what you're talking
about.
Well,
it depends on how you spell it. Yeah,
two. Two words?
No, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
okay. In the text, it's
two,
one word.
Two yeah. words jammed together.
I know. You know, they use it on radio now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm an old timer. I've been around this business for over 50 years. And, I mean, if somebody said hell or damn on the radio.
Booger. There's a whole episode about WKRP where Johnny Fever's like, I got fired for saying booger. Because that's the last line of the show.
Another one would be pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't say
you
that.
You couldn't say pregnant. Yeah.
And, but now I'm listening to some people, well, not on the satellite, they can say whatever they want, but the FCC controlled over the air people have those seven words you can't say.
And that's funny. Yeah, I go, when I direct shows at the high school, I tend to go by what I call radio rules. I'm like, if you can't say it on the radio, we can't say it on the high school stage.
You know, another trick in radio is that if you're about to say something and you think, should I or shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, you know, totally.
And I've broken that rule a couple of times, and sometimes I wished I wouldn't have. Yeah. But anyhow, let's get to know each and every one of you. I will be turning off the microphones of whomever is not speaking, and we'll take this break, and we'll start with Carter right after this important timeout on KYMN Radio.
Leo South in Lakeville is not your typical power sports company. It's family-owned and run, meaning you actually get to talk to the owners. What's even more impressive is they have 25-plus employees, and they all work every hour they're open, so you don't have to stand in long lines waiting for help. Plus, get faster and more coordinated service. And getting parts, well, there's so much experience behind the parts counter, you'll be amazed. Our motto is we sell fun, but every day our mission is to help you from finding parts, getting service, or shopping for something new and fun too. Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
During National Dairy Month, Farmers Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock would like to thank all the local dairy farmers for their business and hard work. And just like all those hard-working dairy farmers, Farmers Mill and Elevator has been family-run since 1944, and they value a honest day's work, providing quality feed products and custom agronomy services. Customer service at Farmers Mill and Elevator is always here for you, regardless of the size of your operation. So if you want a little feed or a lot, stop into Farmers Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock.
Hey, we're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Hello, everybody. Good morning. It's a beautiful day today, June 28th, 2018. And there's our Minneapolis hero, late Prince, on Kim. Prince and the Revolution with the Kiss. Well, let's get to our individuals here this morning. We have Carter Martin in here. And Carter, tell us a little bit about your role in the play Lysistrata.
Sure. I play the commissioner. That's how he's billed. He's actually the commissioner of public safety. And so his job is to maintain order in the city and keep the civic institution, you know, flowing and moving along. And his world gets blown up because the women take over the Acropolis, which is the home of the public treasury. And so he can't pay the men who work for him, and he he can't do his job because these women have just disrupted his business. So,
and that's because of the fact that they want to have peace in the world, and so they're starting to tell their husbands, let's say, that unless you do this or do that, commissioner can't get them to work.
It starts that way, but they also they want to stop the flow of money so that the army can't be paid. And so they say, no money, no war.
That works.
And so there's a whole dialogue about why do you think that money is the cause of the war, and it goes on from there.
So, a lot of fun?
Oh, a lot of fun.
I mean, do you get to have punchlines?
I don't have punchlines so much as I am punched.
Okay.
I take a lot of abuse. The commissioner is not quite a cardboard character, but almost.
Yeah.
I don't have your microphones on, so.
Yeah. He's created a genuine blowhard.
Okay.
And so
a politician.
Typical. Yeah, and there's a lot of people in the current lineup that you could compare him with. He's pretty close to being a cardboard blowhard politician, and he really gets his comeuppance because he tries to put things back in order, and the women basically take him to pieces.
All right. What about your costume?
It's pretty much it's a red and blue affair with a cape, and it's a one piece.
Okay.
So, but it's very kind of
like a toga.
It's a toga. It's got a toga look to it.
Okay.
And it's very almost, you know, it's kind of a cross between a toga and the centurion kind of look.
You wear something on your head?
No. Okay. Bareheaded.
All right, yeah. So mm-hmm. Your gray will show.
Yes, my gray will show.
Which is appropriate for the role.
Yeah, I think so.
Where are you from?
Originally?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Bucks County, Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia.
What's that like? Did you grow up there?
Grew up in PA in New York State, and then family moved to Chicago when I was 13.
Okay, so you didn't... did you live in the inner city in Philadelphia?
No. We were suburbanites.
Did you travel in and see all the historic things?
Oh, yeah. We would go to, you know, Independence Hall and the Franklin Museum and...
Liberty Bell.
Yeah, we did all that. In fact, we were there... July 4th, 1776, for the Bicentennial, we were in downtown Philadelphia.
Cool.
So, and it's just before we left for Chicago.
Well, Pennsylvania is a beautiful state.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Did you go visit all the battle places?
Not as a child. I finally got to Gettysburg when I was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I love American history. And so that was a big thing for me. And you can tell from the energy of the place that something titanic happened there. If you just walk around and, you know, you get a feeling that something, at least I do, I got a feeling that something was still rising out of the earth. You know, there was still an energy there that was just echoing.
And, of course, Minnesota had a big role.
First Minnesota got annihilated on the second day.
Yeah, and folks from Bridgewater Township have a flag flown during a battle during the Civil War
mm-hmm.
with bullet holes and everything,
yep.
and it was restored by the Rice County Historical Society at great cost.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the board of directors there at the time, and I had the privilege of handling that flag, and mm-hmm. I got goose pimples
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
from Civil War and this flag. If you ever want to see it.
Did you have to handle it with gloves?
Archivally
correct gloves?
Yeah. I handled it before it was restored.
Oh, I see.
And then after that, it's encased.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so where did you go to high school?
A little town, north suburbs of Chicago called Mundelein.
Mundelein. What did your dad do or parents do?
Well, my father was in packaging design. Mm-hmm. He had worked for places like Binney and Smith in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and Bristol-Myers, back when Bristol-Myers was just Bristol Labs in Syracuse, New York. And he created a particular design for a bottle that held finger paint. And, I can't recreate it for you on the air, obviously, but his 15 minutes of fame was winning an award from Packaging Digest magazine for his bottle design. And it was the kind of bottle that showed up in kindergarten art classrooms. You know,
so,
and you would just squirt the finger paint out and,
and
have at it.
He had a patent?
I think the company probably had the patent on it.
I often wondered what a person feels like that invents something,
mm-hmm.
like working at 3M, post-it notes, and then it's patented by the corporation,
mm-hmm.
and then the individual might get a little bonus.
Yeah.
And every time they see the Post-it note, they say, I invented that. I could be a multi-billionaire or millionaire if I... Mm-hmm. But that's what he got hired for.
That's what he got hired for.
So when you were in high school, what was the name?
Mundelein High.
Mundelein. Were you active in theater there?
Yes, I was. The bug bit me in eighth grade when I was Tom Sawyer. I was the lead in the eighth grade musical. And I went on, you know, joined the Thespian Society and was doing musicals all through high school. I was in South Pacific and Once Upon a Mattress and Bye Bye Birdie and fun stuff like that.
Wow.
And then went on to study for a while in college and took an undergrad in acting and directing.
Are you a singer?
Yeah, I sing.
Okay, tenor?
Well, tenor once, maybe a bit more closer to a baritone now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your favorite role?
Oh.
Well, you're thinking about that.
I'll have to think about that because I've done a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. an easy one to answer.
I'm going to give you 1 minute and 28 seconds to think about it, okay?
Okay.
Sounds like a plan. Eight minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
I hear the Subway Fritos Chicken Enchilada Melt is back. No, really, I literally heard it. Loaded with savory rotisserie-style chicken that's covered in enchilada sauce. Layer that with melty Monterey cheddar cheese, add some spicy chipotle southwest sauce, and finally, topped with loud, crunchy Fritos. Fair warning, though, this one's a real decibel breaker. Requesting earplugs encouraged, but not required. Fritos Chicken Enchilada Melt. Make it spicy. Make it crunchy. Make it loud. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
When you want a mower that outmaneuvers, outperforms, and outdoes the competition, the Cub Cadet Residential Zero Turn Mowers have got you covered. Our innovative steering wheel control lets you work faster while making your lines straighter. And our AeroForce cutting decks with advanced aerodynamics mean less clumping, better bagging, and the great look of the Cub Cadet's signature cut. It's zero turn strength with zero comparison. Test drive American built strength today at Kenyon Ace Hardware, your locally owned Cub Cadet dealer, for expert advice, superior service, and exceptional offers in Kenyon.
We're back in the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, looking out over Division Street at 2nd. And looking at the public library, the Carnegie, some people say Carnegie, and all the beautiful plants that they have, and of course the hanging plants. What a great little town to live in. People tell me all the time they just love Northfield when they come down to visit. So invite your friends and relatives to a big play tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night, called Lysitrata or something like that, Lysitrata. And
Listeria.
Listerine. There we go. Listerine. Clean that mouth out after that play.
Really.
Listerine.
We should pass that out in the lobby afterwards. You know?
Oh, guess what? Young woman just handed me a note. It says, Wayne, feel free to give away two pairs of tickets, four total, for tonight's show of Lysitrata. And she said she'll bring them down. So, folks, if you would like a pair of tickets for tonight's play, the telephone number to call is 645-5695. And our area code is 507. 507-645-5695. Pair of tickets to tonight's show. And one of the gentlemen, commissioner in the play, Carter Martin, is with us today. And Carter, you gave a whole string of different plays that you've been in, and I asked you which was your favorite role, and you said you'd have to think about it, and I gave you at least a couple of minutes to do that.
Okay.
And I ask athletes, what's that one play that you'll never forget? And basketball, mm-hmm. football, hockey, whatever, mm-hmm. they'll never forget that play. It's only important to them. So what was your one play that you'll never forget that you...
Oh, well, I never forget it, and I try never to forget any of them. But if you... I did... a student directing project in my undergrad years. We did a cut-down version of Betrayal by Harold Pinter. And I played Robert, the husband whose wife is having an affair with his best friend. And I love dark roles and exploring, you know, people who are in physical, mental, emotional distress. But this character was so pent up that he couldn't let it out. It came, you know, he being a good Brit, they don't explode. They hold it in, and it comes out diagonally, sideways, out his left ear. And so I had great fun exploring what this man was going through, as he knew his wife was sleeping around with his best friend. He found out, and he revealed it to her in such a menacing, left-handed way. There was a great scene where he's basically over her left shoulder and revealing it all, and the fear that filled that scene was just incredible.
All right. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
So what do you do in Northfield?
Well, I don't.
Retired?
No, God, no. No, I don't do a lot of things in Northfield, but no, I live in Kenyon.
I know where that is.
Yes.
I just heard something
that
about
way
Ace,
and down and,
yeah. Ace Hardwood.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I work in Red Wing.
Okay.
So.
What do you do in Red Wing?
I work for Red Wing Aeroplane Company. It's a charter company that keeps 12 airplanes, 12 light jets flying around the country.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. It's
That's interesting.
Yeah, very well known in the industry, not so well known in the immediate area.
So yeah. If I were a wealthy man,
mm-hmm.
And let's say I was cashing in on my acting ability or whatever, or as president of Allflex or something like that,
sure.
Would I call you up and say, hey, I've got my wife and two kids and we want to go to Hawaii? And we want to leave Tuesday.
Well, we don't go to Hawaii because a light jet doesn't have the fuel capacity to get all the way there. And
okay.
Until they build some kind of island midway through where you could make a fuel stop.
Okay. I'm going to Key West.
Key West. There you go. That's a little more realistic. Yeah, you call us up. We treat you as a retail client, and we could put you on a plane.
I mean, is it like first-class service where you have... you can't say, what do you say nowadays, a server or, you know?
No flight attendants.
Okay.
Two pilots and a little refreshment center. You know, we keep a standard stock of food and drinks, snacks and drinks.
Like
and
the hotels, if the bottle's missing, you took it, so therefore you owe us $55?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of.
Well, that's
like,
pretty interesting. 12 of them. Are they pretty busy all the time?
Oh, we're very busy. We
okay.
get we do more quoting for trips than we could ever fill. And
what
we get
role,
more requests.
What role is yours?
I'm in the operations department, so I write quotes. I schedule trips. You're sort of a communications bridge between the pilots and operations and travel brokers.
Well, perhaps maybe someday you can come back and join me, and we'll chit-chat about you, because that's what my show is usually all about, is the mm-hmm. individual, and I'd be really, we could spend a lot of time talking about the business you're in, because mm-hmm. it just fascinates me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in. You may remain seated and participate in the conversation.
I will do that.
I'm not dismissing you. I'm just have to take a break for the news. All right?
No, by all means.
All right. We'll be back with a couple of more people that are in the play that will be held tonight. And I did mention to you that if you want a pair of tickets to go to that play tonight or tomorrow night or Saturday night, the number to call is 507. Oh, by the way, the show is for tonight's show, 507-645-5695. This is the 195.1 FM and 1080 AM KYMN from Northfield, Minnesota.
Trump-Putin matchup, high court shakeup. I'm John Trout. A Russian-U.S. summit is slated for July 16th in Helsinki, Finland.
Mr. Trump's national security advisor John Bolton spent Wednesday in Moscow meeting with Vladimir Putin to lay the groundwork for the Helsinki summit. As a Fox News contributor, Bolton often criticized Putin as untrustworthy. On Wednesday, he was neutral when talking with reporters.
Both President Trump and President Putin feel that it's important for these two leaders of these two critically important countries to get together and discuss their mutual problems and areas of cooperation.
The one-day summit between Mr. Trump and Putin will come after the president attends the annual NATO Leaders Conference in Brussels. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement is triggering debate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he'd like to fill the justice position before this fall. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal say confirmation should occur after the midterm elections.
The American people really deserve a voice in this decision, and so the confirmation vote should take place after the election, after the new Congress is seated.
Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Christopher Wray testify today before the House Judiciary Committee. The hearing is scheduled to discuss the Justice Department Inspector General report released earlier this month on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Embattled FBI agent Peter Strzok testified on Capitol Hill yesterday. Republican Congressman Mark Meadows sat in on testimony.
Still a lot of unanswered questions on who knew what when, and as it relates to this particular investigation, what was the genesis of the Russia collusion investigation.
On Wall Street, stocks are opening mixed as uncertainty looms with trade battles. I'm John Trout.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. We are KYMN 1080 AM and now the 95.1 FM. I have three of the individuals that will be performing tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater over on 3rd Street, and they are involved with Lysistrata. I almost got it right. And I'm going to continue my conversation now with Shannon Caton. And Shannon, I'm going to say good morning to you once again.
Good morning, Wayne.
Good to have you here.
It's nice to be here.
Okay, so you're relatively new to the acting world. Yes. You mentioned earlier this morning, mm-hmm. and you're going to make your virgin appearance.
I did last Friday. It was very exciting.
At a very lewd, would you call it lewd or
body.
Just body?
Body. Yeah. Naughty? Yeah, not lewd.
Naughty. Okay.
No, I would never be involved in something that was lewd.
By the way, I got to just turn on the microphone for the director over there, but... I'm going to tell you something, all right? The tickets are gone.
Yes!
Bam,
excellent!
Just like that.
But
good.
There's more. So
yes, there's more
calling.
Available.
Oh,
so call.
Oh.
Well, not for free.
NorthfieldArtsGuild.org. Check it out. Theater page. It's Lysistrata. It's right there. Just click and you can buy your tickets online and it's really nice.
All right. I just want you to know that the tickets they gave for tonight's performance.
Brilliant.
That through the generosity of the NAG and KYMN.
Yes.
Are gone. They were gone. Boom. Just like that.
Brilliant. Great.
Somebody
I'm so
wants
glad
to see
that.
Naughty.
We're all a little naughty on the inside.
Exactly.
All right, Shannon. We mentioned earlier when we first started the show at 9 o'clock that you and I have known each other for many years. And it is good to see you again. And we have a little thing. You weren't here at the time, but... I always remember her for Red Lips.
Oh.
And the whole point of it is that what?
Me too. I used to do the Red Lips. Red lipstick and liquid
orange eyeshadow. Yeah.
mm-hmm. I'd look in the rearview mirror driving the convertible when she was a princess. And, those red lips were right there in the mirror.
Nice.
With my giant teeth and red lips.
Yeah. That was fun. It brings back great memories. So, anyhow, this is your first time acting for the Northfield Arts Guild. and you're going to be on stage, and your role is one of five women.
Yes.
You're number five.
I'm woman number four.
Number four. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, promotion. Wow.
Yes, woman number four. We actually got to name our characters as well, so okay. I do have a name.
What is your name?
Kilkis.
Kilkis?
Kilkis.
Kilkis?
Kilkis. It's an island off of Greece.
Oh, okay. And who chose that?
I did.
Well, good.
Yeah, we
for
got
you.
To choose names.
Now, did the director tell you to look at a map and come up with something, or?
No, I drew a blank. So everybody okay. was coming up with these great names, and I had nothing. So I did look at the internet, and thank you, Google, for coming up with a name.
Okay. Now, let's find out about you. Where were you raised?
I was born in Alexandria in 1974, and in 1988, we moved to Northfield. So
okay.
I was in sixth grade when we moved here.
And the lakes area.
The lakes area,
in, why,
yes.
Why would you move from the lakes area with your family?
My parents moved down here for work.
Oh, where did they go to work?
St. Olaf, actually.
Oh.
Both of them were custodians at St. Olaf.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then you got to go to, where did you live? What side of town?
We lived right up here on Washington Street.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, for years.
What, between 5th and 6th?
Right behind Econo Foods.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I once bought a house that was moved from the corner of 5th and...
I remember that house.
5th and... it was a funeral home originally. Moved it down to the end of 6th Street, big duplex. Mm-hmm. So then you went to Sibley?
No, I went to the middle school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we moved here in 6th grade. So
up
I went
here.
To the old middle school,
yeah,
which is now the Whites. Yeah.
You know, I've interviewed people that say the old high school,
and
then they say the old middle school,
yeah,
and now they're saying Witt Center, you know,
yeah.
And they don't know about the other part. So then you went to Northfield High School.
I did.
In class of?
93.
93?
Mm-hmm.
That is a while ago, isn't it?
It was just 5 years ago.
Okay. So what activities in high school did you participate in?
I was a cheerleader in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't very athletic, so no sports for me.
Okay.
And I was not involved in theater.
Okay.
Or band, or I was kind of boring.
Okay.
But I did get involved with Defeat of Jesse James Days. So that was
in high school?
Shortly after high school,
Running for the scholarships.
Yep.
What did you do with the scholarship that you won from the Defeat of Jesse James Day Committee?
I spent it on my education.
Okay. And what is the education that you spent it on?
I went to Dakota County Technical College, and I am a dental assistant.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Where at?
At South Suburban Oral Surgeons. And we have offices here in Northfield, in Burnsville, and in New Prague.
Which one is that?
Right up on Washington Street. Everybody knows it as the Nasby Building.
Yeah, yeah, Dr. Mm-hmm. Nasby, sure,
yeah.
Okay. There's other different kind of businesses in there now.
Yeah, there's a lot of different businesses.
So is that an oral surgery?
Oral place? Surgery,
yeah,
yes.
I think I've been. Mm-hmm. Who's your doctor?
Dr. Mark Roskowski
okay.
and Dr. Richard Pilstrom.
Okay, new ones.
Yeah.
I had one when I went there. Oh. Man, I'll tell you what, when you have an abscess tooth, that hurts
yes,
a lot.
It does.
And they had to take it out, and I don't know why I'm being so personal, but when they did, some nerves were cut, so I can't feel this part of my upper left side of my lip.
Oh, yes.
And so if my nose runs, I don't know it till it gets to my lower lip.
Ooh.
That's a fact. And my wife and people that know that, they'll go make a gesture like, wipe your nose, Wayne. And I think, oh, I remember seeing guys that, but I'm getting there, that age. So this was a desire that you had all your life, or did the Dakota County help you select that career?
No, I wanted to do it. I was working at the front desk at an endodontic office, so a place where they do root canals. And the doctor there, yeah,
they
I know.
They come in smiling and leave with a frown or
exactly.
a crown. Yeah.
One or the other. And so the doctor that owned the practice encouraged me to go back to school and, you know, become a dental assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great idea.
Okay. And then
I really enjoy it.
What was your first job?
My first job was in a general dental office, so doing fillings and
in town
that
here?
Kind of thing. Yeah, I interned at Dr. Appledorn's office.
Oh, sure.
Professional Drive Dental. And
absolutely. Nice fellow. Yeah.
Ended up working in Eagan for 13 years.
Commuting?
Yeah.
So you lived here in Northfield?
I lived here in Northfield. So I've always lived here.
Have you ever married or had children?
Yes, I am married. I've been married since 2002.
2002? Mm-hmm. That's 16 years.
Yeah, that's a long
time. That's pretty good.
To the same man.
For yeah.
Yeah.
For your generation,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's a long time. He's a nice guy, though. Yeah.
What's his name?
Brad Caton.
Brad Caton. Mm-hmm. What does Brad do?
Brad actually now works for the state of Minnesota.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a transportation generalist. So he plows snow for you in the winter.
Oh, a transportation generalist.
Yes.
Means he drives a snowplow truck?
Drives a snowplow truck, replaces guardrail, that kind of thing.
You know, I had one time had asked, who did I ask? I think it was a guy from Dundas, Myron. He used to be mayor of Dundas, and he drove a snowplow for that town. And we got permission for me to do a ride-along.
Oh, fun.
And I thought, you know, maybe now I got another connection. But you'd have to go through all kinds of hoops, I would imagine, to get a ride-along with a state snowplow guy.
Yeah, we can look into it, though.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You know, I'd get up at 1 in the morning or whatever.
He works nights, so you'd have to go in at 7.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to do that.
Yeah.
Enough
you could
about,
come work with me, too.
Watching you?
Yeah.
I'd feel pretty, no.
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 Well, it's not everybody's cup of tea. That's okay.
What is that stuff they give you if you gas or whatever?
The nitrous oxide?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would I have to give you that?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big baby. So
we cater to babies. It's okay.
Okay. So, Shannon, I am really shocked. I didn't know that you were getting into the acting business. Tell me a little bit more about the other roles or things that you did before you joined NAG.
Sure. It's been on my bucket list. I have a bucket list. I made it when I turned 40 to try acting. So I stumbled across an audition on the Northfield Arts Guild page. Peggy Sheldon was doing a dinner theater production at the golf course as a fundraiser for the Northfield Arts Guild. And I went and auditioned and got a small part with one line, which I never got right one time until we performed. And then I nailed it.
What was the one line?
It was, quick, you hide the body while I rifle the pockets. That
okay.
was it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I got it again, Peggy, if you're listening.
Quick, you hide the body while I rifle the pockets.
The pockets, yes. Yeah.
And
I was a pickpocket.
So this must have been one of those mystery things where
you
had to guess
mystery.
Who was... how was the attendance on that, and how did it go?
It was great, yeah. It was over Valentine's weekend, so it was kind of mostly couples.
Mm-hmm.
And you got dinner and a show, and it was greatly attended.
I forgot about that. I did a role for the NAG, and we did it in the NAG building next door here. And they have several levels, and so you could go to different levels and rooms and appear and not appear. And that Dan Freeman, the late Dan Freeman, was in that too. And we had a ball.
Yeah.
And so that was your first experience.
That was my first experience, yes.
Halt or I'll shoot you while I go through his nose or something like that.
Close.
Okay.
So close.
So what was your next one?
My next role was a drunken photographer.
Oh, that had to be really fun.
That was really fun, yeah.
Where was that?
That was a great one. That was also at the golf course.
Okay.
Also a fundraiser. That one was for girls' math programs,
mm-hmm.
Like a STEM project. And then my third was the panto that we did at the Arcadia Charter School over the winter break.
What was that about?
It was... sort of about, let's see, it was I unplugged myself. It was a fractured fairy tale. I'm trying to liken it to something, and it's just not coming.
Well, did you do that play because did your son go to Arcadia?
No, my son doesn't go to Arcadia. Peggy Sheldon also directed that one.
Okay.
And she needed a body.
She needed a body.
So she chose me.
Well, now, have you ever thought, you know what? I'm going to audition for a lead.
No.
No?
No. I don't think I'm a lead actress. I like to do the funny stuff.
Okay.
The funny kind of...
Well, do you sing?
Sidekick. No. Not very well.
Well, your director's saying that you do very well.
All these people are singers.
Yeah.
I sing. I make noise.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about pitch or key or any of that.
Well,
so when they're saying stuff about the key, I'm like, well, if it's in the key of me, I'm fine.
Okay.
Never.
I like to say that I took choir in high school because I was self-centered. And I just loved it when they said, okay, let's practice. Me, 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 me. I think that's funny. But anyhow, I was in the Troubadours. Have you ever heard of them?
I have.
Troubadours, it's a group of retired men that entertain and sing, and they're very good. They have great music directors that taught music and all that. Mm-hmm. And I joined them, and I love singing, but... I am just like you. I can't read it.
Yeah.
And they're saying, okay, now I want that in the key of G when you hit the fourth beat on the ninth. What? And then so I just stand next to, I stood next to a tenor and a baritone or a bass. And I was supposed to be a bass, but I keep going off with the tenor, you know. And then they said, okay, and they put me between two bass. Then I could do it. But I'd like to try that again. That's a good exercise. So how about your son? What grade is he in?
He is going into seventh grade. He'll be at the middle school again this year.
Okay.
Great experience. Wonderful school.
Does he have a cell phone?
Yes.
What are the rules?
Well, he has to surrender it when he comes home from school. He can have it for 1 hour after school, and then it has to be on the kitchen counter.
That he doesn't sneak down and get it off the kitchen counter?
I'm sure he does.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad that they didn't have smartphones when I was a kid.
Yes, because we did a lot of dumb things that could be recorded on smartphones.
And yeah, I was reading an article the other day. Well, I'm reading a book.
Oh, good
and,
for you.
Yeah, I love to read. It isn't
Me
the first
too.
Time. Just look at my at my Amazon account. But anyhow, it was a true crime case, murder, and cheating and all that stuff. And one of the pages talked the entire page about don't put anything on computer you don't want somebody to see, because no matter what you put on, no matter when you put it on, somebody somehow will get that. And this computer helps. I don't know if they're convicted, but it looks like they will be.
Yeah.
And so the point being is that your son and the kids his age have their smartphones, and they can, here's the part that I don't like, they can bully.
Yeah.
You can't get away from it.
Yeah, it's not like the old days when you could come home and shut it out.
Now
you're bombarded with it.
Yeah. I mean, we had phones back then, but how often are you going to bully somebody on a phone?
Yeah.
A telephone call. Hello?
It's too much work.
Oh, you are ugly. Bye. You know. But now you can, you are ugly in message and
constant.
And text it and email it and do everything.
All the social media, the Snapchat and
Snapchat.
Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have Messenger, email, text messaging, and telephone. I don't have what you just...
Yeah.
I have no idea what that... I just found out... No, well, not just, but I didn't know what a Twitter was and a tweet and a twerk.
I think that might be different.
Are you going to be doing any twerking in your play?
No.
Okay.
No twerking.
Yeah.
A few other gestures, but no twerking.
So is your son interested in acting?
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe later in life.
So now you turned 40. You had a bucket list that you, when you turned 40, you were going to do that. And it seems so weird to look at you and talk to you and use the word 40.
Yeah.
It's just folks, I've known this young lady since she was just out of high school. See you every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on that bucket list?
Other things? An Alaskan cruise, which doesn't seem too unlikely.
Did you do that?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Which ones did you do?
Which ones did I do? Well, I tried out for this play.
Okay. You actually wrote that down.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. What else is on my list? Skydiving is on my list.
Do it.
Really?
Do it. You will love it.
I got to go to the Stanton Airfield and try it.
No. Oh, not at Stanton. They don't,
have it at Stanton
no,
anymore?
No.
Okay.
I haven't for quite a few years.
I don't have to go today then.
You, there's a place over in Wisconsin that does it. And do that. It is a thrill.
Yeah. At whitewater rafting.
You know what? I wanted to do that. My wife won a trip. And they had 10 places she could go. New York City was one of them. Whitewater rafting was
Colorado.
Another. Mm-hmm. And other different things, all within the contiguous states. And so she wanted to do one thing. I wanted to do another. So what we did is we rated our top three. And we put number one is, number two is, number three is. And then when we revealed them, the lowest number one.
Oh.
And it turned out that New York was first for her, and it was second for me. So 3-1. And so we went to New York.
Oh.
So
that, Julie won.
Yeah, Julie wins all the time.
I know.
A happy wife is a happy life.
She's good like that.
So what other exciting things are you doing on that bucket list, or you got a mind blank?
Yeah. Camping in Yellowstone. I'd like to go to Yellowstone.
Maybe if there's a Holiday Inn. But no, camping, not on my bucket
list. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'd like to drive up and down the East Coast and see all the historical sites.
Okay.
The Smithsonian.
Yeah. Yep.
All that. That's about all I can think of right now.
How about learning how to drive or ride a motorcycle?
No.
Oh, that was quick.
Nope. Not on the list.
No, not me. Do not want
I would like to get on a horse again.
Okay.
I haven't done that in years, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, your bucket list is very short.
Yes.
That you can come up with right now.
Yeah, that I can come up
but
with.
But do the skydiving.
Yeah.
I mean, you will. The jitters you get when you get there, mm-hmm. and then go through the instructions, and then put on the belts and buckles and all that, mm-hmm. and then get on the plane, and then get the instructions, mm-hmm. and then open the plane door, and then stand there, and then go. Mm-hmm. And the difference between that hot plane, if you go on a day like today, the plane is going to be, you're going to be warm.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you get out there, it's just like, wow, I just fell into a refrigerator.
Don't you get strapped to another human?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In case you forget to open your parachute?
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. Yeah. It's very intimate posture.
Is it?
And when you jump out of the plane with, I assume it's going to be a man.
So, oh. Yeah. Let's go.
Hey, let's
that sounds
keep the,
nice.
Let's keep the play out of this, okay?
Well, if you're going to be strapped to someone while you're jumping out of an airplane, they might as well be hands-on.
Yes, okay. All right. Well, listen, is there anything else you want to add to our conversation?
No, I don't think so. I can't think of anything.
You don't want to tell people what a nice guy I am?
Thank you for having us on, and you are a lovely young man.
Okay, thank you. Ooh, wow. You're not only bawdy, but you're liars. I have to go to this thing tonight. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking to the director of the play that's on tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night.
For your next haircut, here's a thought. Try Family Hair of Northfield. They're locally owned and operated. Family Hair offers friendly service at a great price. Located just across the parking lot from Just Food, Family Hair does cuts, perms, coloring, everything hair. No appointment is needed. Just walk right in. Christy, Megan, and their staff are great at what they do at prices you can't beat. If you have younger kids, they'll love the special kids seat with their choice of movies to watch while they get their hair cut. Visit Family Hair of Northfield.
Are you looking for a rewarding career with a successful, growing company? Post Consumer Brands, the makers of Malt Meal, Honey Bunches of Oats, and Pebbles, is hiring full-time in Northfield. We're looking for passionate individuals with previous manufacturing experience and a high school degree. We offer competitive wages for production employees starting at $20.63 an hour and maintenance employees starting at up to $31 an hour, depending on experience. 401k with a generous company match and bonus incentive plans. To view openings and apply for our full-time positions, visit jobs.postconsumerbrands.com/KYMN.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So cold.
costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat, its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
This is Andy Straits with Straits 72 Degrees, your local third-generation business. Call me at 645-4040 or straitsheating.com.
Okay, Sherry, name that tune.
Kyrie Eleison by Mr. Mister.
It's Kyrie.
Kyrie, yeah. Kyrie.
By Mr. Mister.
Mr. Mister, yeah.
You must be Catholic.
No, I my dad was a DJ, and so I'm very hyper aware of the names okay. of songs.
Kyrie Eleison, that's part of the Mass that the Catholics say.
Yeah.
It's good. Mea culpa is forgive me.
Mea culpa, yeah.
Kyrie, in his, what's, I forget. God have mercy, God have mercy, God have a lot, a whole bunch of mercy or something like that. Anyhow, it's 28 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. This morning we are highlighting a play that will be held tonight at the NAG Theater. And the name of the play is Lysitirvetherta. And in studio I have the gentleman that is playing the commissioner, Carter Martin, is with me. And lady number four is Shannon Caton, ripping a page out of her bucket list. And now we'll be talking to the young lady that is the director, and her name is Sherry Setchell. Got that right?
That's correct.
Got that right. All right. And from what I could tell at our earlier conversation, you're in education. Am I correct?
Yeah-ish. Yeah.
Well, you
yes,
work with
I am a
students.
Teacher. I am a teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I am a teacher.
Well,
but not a traditional, like, classroom teacher. I have several jobs. So, but one of them is I am a director and choreographer at the Northfield High School. So I direct the spring show there every year. And then when we do musicals with Bob Gregory Bjorklund, I am the choreographer for that. I'm also the choreographer for Rock and Roll Revival.
I had him on the air, I think.
Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bob's awesome. I
Bob
love
what?
Bob. Yeah. Bob Gregory Bjorklund.
Yeah.
Yeah. So along with Bob and Ray Coudray. And
that's who I had on.
Yes, Ray yeah, Coudray. Ray. Yeah, Ray Coudray.
Bob is always on Paula Gramquist's show.
Yes, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I asked him to be on mine. Well, not right now on mine.
He's got, it's a tougher time, I think. Yeah, right. So, yeah, I am involved in Rock and Roll Revival, but I also teach dance at Arcadia Charter School. I teach ballet at the Northfield Arts Guild, and I teach dance pretty much anywhere they'll let me. And I do a lot of theater artwork with, I've done it up at St. Olaf Theater Camp. I own my own business, so I'm a busy person with my a lot of irons and a lot of fires.
Do you watch Dance World or World of Dance, whatever it is?
No, I believe that dance is about personal expression and kind of artistic experience rather than competition, and so I try to avoid those things in
but
a lot of ways.
Beautiful.
They are really beautiful, and some of them I do get hooked by, and I have friends that will forward me videos once in a while that I just am completely blown away by.
Okay.
So they are amazing.
Do you? How long you been in town?
Since 2001.
Did you get to know Mary Easter?
I have met Mary Easter once, and I had the pleasure and honor of seeing her speak at the Arts for Martin presentation over at Arcadia many, many years ago, and she was just an amazing human. I wish I had known her more or even gotten to take a class from her. That would have been great.
I've had her on my show.
Mm.
And it is 10:30, by the way, folks, if you're just tuned in. This is KYMN 1080 on your AM dial, the Wayne Eddy Affair. And we are talking to the director of a play that will be held tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night at the Northfield Arts Guild. It's called Lysistrata. And Sherry Setchell is the director of this particular play. Do you have a role, part in the play?
No, not this show. It's hard to direct and be in
a
show at the same time. I have previously choreographed and been in a show before, and that was really hard. And then this last February, I was co-director for a musical that I was in with a friend of mine, and it was rough. It was a good challenge, and I appreciated it. But as a matter of choice, I don't think I would be in a show that I was also directing.
So you said you had a business of your own.
Yes, I do body work and movement therapy. So I am trained in somatic movement therapy, and so I work with clients. I have a little space over by the co-op, right behind Pat Dunn's Nutrition.
Oh, over by Dudley's place?
By Dr. Lindy, by Ron Lindy.
Oh,
Dr.
in
Lindy.
That building.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
You know what that used to be?
A bank.
You know what was before that?
A more bank.
No, it was Franz Red Owl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I thought the co-op was the Red Owl.
It was.
Okay, I'm across from the co-op. Yeah. No, I love that the co-op used to be a
Franz
Red Owl.
Went from Franz Red Owl on where your building is to where the food co-op is to the River Park Mall.
Oh, wow.
And then they built the county market just west of the Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then they tore it down.
Patricas, yeah.
And went out to Cubs.
Yeah.
The Patricas.
Wow.
Great, great people.
Yeah, I love Patricas.
Yeah. Which ones do you know?
No, I love the grocery store. I love the shop there. Okay. It was like so great. That was great.
Well,
I did not realize it started off as the Red Owl. I know that it's a bank because the bank vault is still in there.
Yeah.
So put in there, and there's somebody did this beautiful like diamond pen carving on the metal of it. It's kind of cool.
I can tell you the story. I've never told this story before, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, but there was a good friend of mine that owned a business that had to fire a person because they stole the deposit. And there was no record of him. See how I covered that?
Yeah.
Depositing a lot of money after a day's worth of business. And after many questions and all that, it was obvious that the money was gone from the day's business. It was not deposited. And therefore, goodbye, good luck, and God bless. But I can't have a thief taking my money. Mm-hmm. Years later, when Wells Fargo, the Northwestern or Northwest, moved, and they took out the ATM, the deposit part, they found the envelope with the money.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine what that party had to do to find it, because it was years later, find the person. And do you really go and look for that person and apologize, or do you just say, oh, my God, I made a huge mistake? And it wasn't his or her fault.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, if you haven't got the money, you know.
Yeah,
Okay.
Wow.
1033 on 1080 Radio, and where do you come from?
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska.
I know where that is.
Yes, you've probably driven through it.
I have, and I don't like their steaks.
Oh, no, you just didn't eat at the right place.
No. My sister gave me some Omaha steaks.
Oh, no.
Through the mail.
Not Omaha steaks. You got to go to Omaha and get a steak right there.
And you have a huge benefactor that lives there.
Yeah, Warren Buffett.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, he's a really great guy. I have a lot of respect for Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do. I love that he just lives very humbly, and he really does. He's very much a part of the community, and I really appreciate that about somebody who has his level of respect from the financial world, but also his level of wealth, for sure.
And, of course, the fact that he loves middle America.
Yeah, he does.
The flyover billionaire.
Yeah, Omaha, I think, for a while, and may still have the highest per capita millionaire population in the United States. Because it's so inexpensive to live there. And as I say, you don't become a millionaire because you spend your money.
You say that, huh?
Yeah, you bet. Okay. Cheap people, man. I used to work for a billionaire, and I know how he stayed a billionaire. So,
what kind of a job was that?
From Omaha, I went to McAllister College in St. Paul. And then moved out to Los Angeles. And for a very long period of time, well, not that long. It seems like it was a long time when I was in my 20s. I worked for Mike Milken, who, if you know who Mike Milken is.
The name's familiar.
Yes. He spent some time in jail. But after he got out of jail, he was very much into doing more philanthropic work, especially around prostate cancer, because he was a survivor. But on top of that, he started working in education technology way back when the internet was a new thing. And so I worked for him as an administrative assistant, and then I worked for him as I did desktop support for computers way back in the Windows 98 days of old. Windows NT. And then after that, I started working for an educational website. And so I did production work for them and design work for them. And quality assurance, I think, is what I finally ended up doing there.
Sherry Setchell is my guest right now. She's director of a play that'll be held tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night. So how did you find out about McAllister?
It was very random, actually.
Well, tell me about it.
So I remember going to a college fair where I went to high school. Most people did not go to college. It was not something that you did when you were done there. Basically, you got married and you went and had babies, and that was kind of the aspiration of most people. So they sort of corralled the quote-unquote smart kids, of which I still don't consider myself one, and made sure that they got to college fairs and, like, were really trying to push that as a way of life. And so I went to a college fair at the Omaha Civic Auditorium, and I was just kind of looking around at different places, and at the time I was dating a young man who was planning on going to MCAD. And so Minnesota College of Art and Design.
Okay.
And so I knew he was going to be up in the cities also, and I didn't have super strong feelings about him. I knew, like, it was not a lasting event, but I thought, hey, you know, Twin Cities would be great.
Have you been to the Twin Cities?
Yeah, my grandparents actually moved from Omaha up to St. Louis Park and also lived in Buffalo for several years. And so I kind of had an affection for this part of the country, and I love Minnesota. And so I kind of focused on that, and I saw McAllister, and I met the amazing admissions people from there. They had a beautiful, the book, the propaganda from McAllister was absolutely gorgeous. It's a stunning campus. And I really knew nothing about it, and I thought, hey, that's where I want to go. And it was the only place I applied. I applied early admission, and I got in.
Well, it's an expensive school, mm-hmm. almost as expensive as Carleton.
Yes, yeah.
And it is also similar to Carleton, some pretty good graduates.
Yes, yeah.
No brain drain at McAllister.
Yes, true.
And of course, it's right off Summit Avenue.
Oh, so beautiful.
And if you're a biker, that's a place to go biking.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have a little, like, a little village all its own along Snelling and St. Clair.
Yeah, yep, we lived on St. Clair.
No. Okay, yeah. So a great campus, but, you know, it's not that visible from any of the streets.
No.
You have to get in there to look at it.
Yeah.
It's larger than you think.
It's like Brigadoon, but college.
Yeah.
It's like it kind of appears when it's ready. Yeah, it did feel sort of like... it did feel very sequestered in its own way, yet right in the middle of this very vibrant urban area.
What year did you get out of high school?
I graduated in 92.
92.
Yeah, and McAllister in 96.
Were you there when McAllister was the, what do they call it? When you wipe your feet on, what's that called? A door?
Doormat?
Yeah.
I'm like trying to think of the better word for it.
The doormat of the MIAC in football and basketball.
Oh yes, we were very proud of that.
Yeah,
we were very proud of that. Yeah, we had a losing football team when we lived there. They were the longest running, lowest winning football team, I think, of all time in their division at that time. So, yeah, we were pretty proud of that.
I mean, did you go to the games?
Oh, no. Never went to a football game. Okay. Never went to a football game. I think I went to one girls' rugby game when we were there. Okay. So, yeah.
So what entertainment did you find for your graduate of McAllister College with St. Thomas just down the road a little bit and St. Catherine's over there? Did you mingle with all? Are you leaving? Shannon, I want to thank you very much for being here, and you better get back to work.
Yeah.
I think some people have a problem right now with their cavities. Okay. Yep, and that's kind of like the play that you're in. Yeah. Okay. Hello.
Hello. No, we stayed on campus. We stayed very much on campus.
You didn't have mixers?
No, we didn't really. No, I think I kind of found my group of I found my group of weirdos, and we stuck together tight. So we did a lot of things on campus together. We would occasionally take the bus to the newly built Mall of America, but that was as adventurous as I think we got to leave campus. There's so much on any college campus. I think there's such a rich experience to be had just right there, and McAllister was always good about providing that sort of thing. They had Max Cinema every weekend where you could go see different movies, and I love movies. Cinema is like one of my big loves, and so we spent our time doing that and just kind of watching a lot of Mystery Science Theater together, speaking of another Minnesota-grown thing, and just hanging out.
Well, so your degree is in what?
Classics and English.
Which generally means you're going to go off and profess.
Yes, which generally means I'm going to do exactly what I'm doing now, I guess. My senior year classics project actually was producing Lysistrata with my group of friends, many of whom were also classics majors, and I dragged my now husband and several of my very good friends into doing it. So we have lovely pictures from us doing it in 1996 outside in a courtyard at McAllister.
So that's what... Did you have to convince the board, Meg, to produce this play?
I actually didn't choose the play. The play chose me. No, I actually didn't choose the play. The plays at the Guild are chosen by the theater committee.
Okay.
And so it was part of the Striking Conversations theme for this year at the Arts Guild. And I think it fits in really well in that respect, that it has struck up some conversations, that's for sure. So just about finding creative solutions to difficult problems, I think, is basically why it was chosen.
Well, are you on that committee?
No, I am not on that committee.
So that came up by committee.
That's correct.
And it just so happens that you had been involved with this play back in your college days.
That's correct. And I was also part of the Lysistrata Project in 2003, which was a group of people who were doing a reading for it to protest the war in Afghanistan, so to raise money for like People for Peace and Goodwill and a few other organizations in town. So I have a long history with this show, and it's one of my favorites.
Well, I just happened to read your T-shirt, the legendary Johnny Cash. It's interesting that you say that, because I've had the pleasure of getting to interview Johnny Cash on a couple of occasions.
Oh,
but his guitarist of 30 years, Bob Wooten, sat right in that chair you're sitting in. And he sounds exactly like Johnny Cash. And if I was quick with the computer, I could pull up on YouTube and play it for you.
Wow.
And you'd think it was Johnny Cash.
Oh, wow.
And he was the guitar player for 30 years with him, traveling.
Amazing.
So, he's sitting right there.
Right here.
And he unfortunately passed away about 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
We have to take a break. We'll be back. I'm talking to a couple of people here this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Carter Martin and Sherry Setchell. We will be back after these words from a place that she, that being Sherry, just mentioned.
Every summer, you gotta pick vacation or staycation.
Or with Mall of America,
it's a playcation.
Start at Radisson Blu Mall of America, the hotel connected to MOA, giving you instant access to everything.
And the kids will love the indoor swimming pool.
Launch your day at Fly Over America, the ultimate flying ride.
Soar from coast to coast.
Feel real wind and mist.
Then go deep at Sea Life Minnesota Aquarium.
Come face to fin with sharks and sea turtles in a 300-foot-long underwater tunnel.
Color me excited for Crayola experience.
Melted wax spin art. Name your own crayon. See how crayons are made, and so much more.
Then it's game on with over 100 classic and cutting-edge video games at GameWorks.
Plus epic bowling and high-def sports viewing. And have you been to Rick Bronson's House of Comedy?
It's the place to drink, dine, and laugh.
And the High Point, Nickelodeon Universe.
7 acres of spine-tingling rides and one-of-a-kind attractions.
Shop, dine, stay, and play all in one place.
Visit mallofamerica.com for details.
Some of the best parties start with a cold one on the front porch. You and your best friends kicking back, and before you know it, you're on your way to CHS Field. Magically, you find yourself at the craft beer corner, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Saints baseball on July 2nd at 5:05 with an Independence Day celebration. Enjoy a post-game fireworks super show and monster food truck rally.
Fun is good at CHS Field, St. Paul's front porch, and home of Saints baseball.
Darren College,
you betcha.
A former
hey,
NFL
how about
student.
That? On KYMN Radio, we are talking to the director of the play that will be performed this evening and tomorrow night and Saturday night. Sherry Setchell, also in studio with us, is the commissioner in the play, Carter Martin, and it's at 15 minutes before 11 o'clock. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to suggest perhaps Sherry, may I call you Sherry?
Absolutely.
I don't have to. Which, I got you on that one. Okay.
Right on.
All right. I'd like you to come back independently, and we'll chit-chat for a couple of hours. It seems like you've had a pretty interesting life, and you're very talkative, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's a compliment,
thank
by
you.
The way. And we'll make arrangements in the future to do that.
Yeah, brilliant. That'd
okay.
be great. Thank you.
In the meantime, I know that I've been a friend of the Arts Guild for many years, and I have was involved in their location now, the Northfield Arts Guild building.
Mm-hmm.
That was an original YMCA building.
Yes.
And it was given to the city of Northfield for $1 on the agreement that it will be used for the community. And when the Northfield Police Department and the city council decided to move and built the safety center, which is now the fire department only, and then the city council moved up to the old Washington School, that building became available. And different people looked at it, and I had an opportunity to promote using it as a public place and get a secretary, so all the clubs in the community, 4-H, YMCA, well, they weren't there, excuse me, 4-H, JCs, Lions, Rotary, whatever, would have that one place for that, and then the meetings could be held and all that. And I had about 40 people I mailed letters out to, and they all thought it was a great idea, but it was going to be so expensive. So it went up for sale, and I won't mention his name, but this one fellow wanted to buy it and drop it. And put in a parking lot.
Ugh.
Just and it, fortunately, that didn't happen. And a couple of retailers looked at it, and it would have been awfully expensive to redo. And then the Arts Guild came forward, and they got their grants and their donations and their for free hard workers, and put that into a beautiful place. It's got
yeah.
a wonderful history.
Yes.
And then the they're kind of separate now, aren't they? The NAG and the theater, and two committees.
I actually don't know that the answer to that. I think there's definitely some overlap, and they're all together still under that guild aegis,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But because I think you know, there's the space, the maintaining the theater space and the theater season, I think has a different flavor and vibe to it for sure. Than a lot of things. Everything's together, but they do have their own committees, I think.
Well, when was the first time you were in the NAG Theater?
The first time I was in the NAG Theater was to see The Importance of Being Earnest in 2001.
Oh.
And then I did my first show there in 2002, directed by Patsy Doo. I was in Night of the Iguana. So, and in classic community theater form, I was 27 playing a 16-year-old, and it was great. It was really wonderful.
And how many roles? We'll get you back into the conversation here. You've been very patient. Thank you very much, Carter. So what plays have you been? I might be repetitious, but remind me. What plays have you been in at the Northfield Arts Guild?
Well, apart from La Sestrada, I did Death of a Salesman last fall.
Yeah, and yeah. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Any others?
Not at the Guild, no.
Okay.
I've been on stage with the Merlin Players down at the Paradise Center in Faribault in 1776, and Cabaret, and most recently in Barefoot in the Park.
Wow.
That we did back in
little Neil
January,
Simon.
February. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What
February,
role did you,
March.
What did you play in that?
I play Victor Velasco, the eccentric Hungarian who lives above them in the attic apartment at the top of the brownstone. and who just kind of sails through life and manages to, find what he needs. He kind of lives on the edge of his means.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, but he manages to, you know, get his three squares a day and gets a lot of fun out of life.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you like those dark roles, don't you?
Well, this wasn't particularly dark. This was he was fun.
Yeah,
you know, Victor's a lot of fun.
It was a beautiful role, and you did it beautifully.
Thank you. And it was he's one of those delightfully eccentric people, who is not in the least troubled by the dark side of life, and people like that have always amazed me because I don't understand how they live.
You think he was?
I know, it makes me nervous.
Yeah, I know, it makes me very nervous because it's like, how can you not wake up worried in the morning, or something?
Was
like
he misunderstood then?
Oh, not necessarily misunderstood.
Everything
no,
I
no.
say is wrong.
No.
It's a tough character. Tough character to kind of get your brain around because I think it's such a character of the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you rarely see that kind of character in theater anymore, I think.
Right. I guess you could almost describe him as bohemian.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Kramer. Mm. He's like Kramer.
Yes, exactly.
Like, what does Kramer do? You don't know, but he's always at Jerry's place eating Jerry's food, right? And that's kind of, I think, if you were to look for something more contemporary, sort of that.
Did you do the antics of Kramer?
Well, he starts out by being locked out of his apartment because he hasn't paid his rent. And so he's trying to sneak back in, but in order to do it, he has to climb along the outside ledge of the building.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the first act, there I am, scuttling along the alley, and I appear through the window, as I'm making my way across the ledge.
Yeah, it's very funny.
It's eight minutes before 11 o'clock on Kim. Do you live in Northfield?
No, I live in Kenyon.
In Kenyon? We established that already. I'm sorry. That's Do you live in town in Kenyon?
Just a little south of the downtown strip, 510 Red Wing. With my family, we rent a 100-year-old Queen Anne-style house, which some people say is the prettiest home in Kenyon.
Is it all painted different pastels?
No. But it's, it's full of hardwood floors and a built-in hutch in the dining room. And,
so if I came into Kenyon, and at the stop sign, would I just go straight ahead?
If you came in south on 56 and came into Kenyon on 60, you would just keep going straight south.
Okay. Yeah. Out by the... isn't there a historic brick building there on the south end? Just as you enter, if you're coming from Faribault on the right-hand side, isn't...
There's a lot of historic buildings there. Yeah,
but there's this one special.
I'm not quite sure which one you're referring to, but I know there's a lot of old brick there.
Do you live in Northfield?
I do live in Northfield.
Whereabouts?
I live over on First Street. I actually live next door to the Wellstone House.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yep.
So if you're Catholic, it's pretty easy to get to Mass.
But I'm not. So I'm just like, it's Easter again, and there's cars parked in front of my house. And I'm like, I'm trying to turn right out off of First Street, and it's Saturday night. No!
So what... what about Wellstone? Do people come by to...
So funny story about that. We bought the house a year after Wellstone died, and our house is painted that Wellstone green, basically. When we moved in, it was just this beautiful, bright, vibrant green. And what was hilarious was people were still coming by the house pretty regularly.
Confused.
Yeah, and they were confused, and so they'd come by, and like, I know there's a woman out there with me going... No, in a picture, because she took a picture of our house thinking it was the Wellstone house. But Tristan Cox, who owns that house, eventually put a sign in the front of the house that said Paul Wellstone, so people would know that it was not our house that they should be photographing, but rather his house.
Okay, but that's kind of fun to say I live next door to Paul Wellstone raised his family.
Yeah, and that's a really cool... our houses are almost identical, but there's a lot of neat features actually in Tristan's house that I like a lot.
I've actually confused the two myself in the past.
Yeah, mine's the one with the chicken in the front yard, and his is the one that looks like a respectable house. So, yeah.
Did you know Ray Cox?
Yes, we did know Ray.
Okay. I lived across the street from his family.
Oh.
at one time.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is mm-hmm. because his mother, I think Margaret, whatever, had a chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
She'd have a chicken. And, you know, you'd go out and see it and run around. And one day she didn't have a chicken. And I asked what happened to it. And she's, oh, this big stray dog ate it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I don't know why, it just struck me as funny.
That is kind of funny.
But she felt so bad because she lost her eggs is what she lost.
Right on.
One last break before the 11 o'clock news on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Pam Fekencher, senior pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Northfield. St. John's invites you every Sunday to a joyful musical service of word and sacrament at 8:30 and 10 a.m. We're located at 500 3rd Street West in Northfield. If you can't join us in person, listen live at 8:30 a.m. on AM 1080 KYMN or online at kymnradio.net. You are always welcome at St. John's. We hope to see you soon.
G'day, mate. How you going? Come on over to the Minnesota Zoo and check out our spiffy Aussie exhibit, Kangaroo Crossing. Bring your mates and get up close and personal with the roos, wallabies and emus. Roam the land without any barrier between you and the wildlife. Crikey, it's like we brought over the real outback. Kangaroo Crossing at the Minnesota Zoo. Presented by Think Mutual Bank. Open now through Labor Day. Learn more at mnzoo.org. Celebrating 40 years of amazing.
We're back. Yes, we are. It is approximately, well, I'll tell you exactly what time it is. So, you ready? Here we go. Got to put on my glasses. Small print on the computer. 10:56:40. And coming up behind me musically is, come on, name that tune.
Whitney Houston, How Will I Know?
Well, you don't have to dance to it.
Oh, yeah, I do.
And we are going to conclude our conversation here this morning with, well, we had three at one time, people of the 20-member cast, big cast on that small stage at the Arts Guild. And it's going to be a bawdy presentation of, say it.
Lysistrata.
Lysistrata. And Lysistrata is, let's see, 346 B.C.?
411 B.C.
Oh, well, sure.
I don't remember dates very well, but I remember that one.
411. Okay. And anyhow, it's a not a lewd, but a bawdy play.
Yes. No.
And you will be offended if you're offended easily.
Yes.
But if you're a person that can just enjoy life without being insulted or offended, you're going to laugh here.
Yes.
And I won't use what would be an offensive word
right.
to some people. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And how did you feel after last weekend?
Oh, I felt great. Yeah. No, we had very, very responsive crowds. And it seemed like there was a lot of positive response afterward, a lot of giggling. I mean, it's just so funny to hear how people react differently to it. I think there's that desire to laugh loudly, but people are afraid that they'll get judged if they laugh loudly at it. So there was a lot of snickering and giggling and then sudden explosions of laughter.
I think you have to keep the image of the very prim and proper older lady who suddenly found herself open mouthed and laughing, you know, at all the bawdy jokes. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, for the elderly, we have a woman in town just celebrated her 90th birthday or whatever, Dave and Susan Vistendahl's mother.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And she would get up with Brad Ness and they'd act like they were Norwegian. And you talk about risque, coming from a little old lady, and I don't mean to call her a little, but right, she's an elderly woman, and coming back with these barbs back and forth, and you go, my gosh, a woman that age? So, like you said, it's okay to just laugh out loud.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever done that where you're watching something, and all of a sudden you burst out laughing and nobody else does?
That's always me.
And somebody came back and said, Wayne, you got that one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting to look forward to. I have the rest of the weekend occupied by putting on this production. Only music? Is there any music accompaniment?
No. Well, I do have Randy Ferguson is playing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, is playing like some background music at a few times. We have a little flamenco, a little blues, and a couple of other places where he contributes some music, which is really lovely and supports the cast. And then he plays for us on our last song when we sing.
Yeah, and I think the blues are appropriate for a Greek
yes,
play.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, Randy's quite the guy. I've had him in here several times, and with all of his guitars and the background and what they sound like. I thank you very much for joining me this morning. Thank you very much.